second case on the call is case number 17-1156, In Re Interest of Jay Inlessly. That's 17-1156, In Re Interest of Jay Inlessly. Council Brooks, thank you.
My name is Judith Wells, and I represent the National Library of Appellate in this case. The issue before the case, the court today, is that on April 20, 2016, using the appellate of counsel during the first appearance for taking custody adjudication and disposition, denied her of her due process. The Nebraska Revised Statute 43279071B states, when the petition alleges the juvenile to be within the provision of the subdivision 3A, the court shall inform the parent the right to engage counsel of their choice at their expense or to have counsel appointed if the parent is unable to afford a lawyer.
And in this case, counsel was appointed, correct?
That is correct. Counsel was appointed, she had actually two attorneys and had never met with either prior to before the hearing on April 20th. She was not at the hearing on April 20th.
And the record, does the record disclose whether counsel attempted to contact her? If she had notice of the hearing?
I believe she had notice of the hearing, and both counties had tried to send letters to the previous address.
So 43279012 allows the court to relieve appointed counsel, correct?
That's correct.
So what's the problem here?
The problem here is that during those hearings, the appellant was not allowed the opportunity to refute or deny the charges or accusations. She did not have the opportunity to confront or cross-examine witnesses. The court stated in Reed, Land, and H that parental physical presence is not necessary in determining parental rights, provided that parent has been afforded procedural due process. And we believe in the case at hand, appellant was not afforded the right to due process.
What all does that involve, the right to due process? She was notified of the hearing. She was appointed counsel. She didn't contact or respond to counsel's attempts to contact her. So what more due process is required?
Well, according to Nebraska Statute 43283.016. The court in this case, at the hearing on July, on May 17th, the court said no more reasonable efforts. So according to that statute, 43283, requires that at a substitute hearing be held within 30 days following that determination. If appellant has had an attorney during that time, after no more reasonable effort, then the attorney, even if the appellant wasn't there, couldn't be there on her behalf to object to exhibits, confront the witnesses. In this case, we don't know if the witnesses were actually there or if their exhibits were just submitted. So there was no one there to argue on behalf of.
You were one of the two attorneys for this
party. That is correct.
And my understanding is that the reason the court relieved counsel of their duties is because there was a total lack of communication between the client and the attorneys.
That is correct. But there are cases where parents are notified by the publication and an attorney is allowed to stay on that case the whole time, even through termination of parental rights. So even though there was no contact,
so my understanding is she was without counsel from April 20th until July 25th, 2016. Is that about the right time period?
Correct.
Okay. And during that time, the adjudication of the three older children occurred, correct? Okay. But after that time, counsel was appointed.
That is correct.
So she had counsel through the termination hearing.
She did.
What's the prejudice to her from not having counsel at the adjudication hearing?
Well, at the adjudication hearing, I believe there were exhibits that were submitted that formed the foundation for the whole case again. There was an affidavit or police report submitted, which is, affidavit of removal, mark 1, also as 8, as removed on 9, volume 2 of the transcript. That affidavit was submitted. She didn't have opportunity to cross-examine the author of that affidavit to include the charges, the allegations that were in it. I believe that was the crux of the case starting out. And so that's when the due process began to begin.
In this case, I do not believe that you contested the statutory grounds for termination. You're pretty much arguing that it wasn't in the best interest of the children and that she was not afforded due process. Is that correct?
And one of the statutory grounds upon which termination was based was subsection 2. And it's my understanding from case law that no prior adjudication is required in order to terminate under that subsection. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
So the adjudication hearing never even really needed to happen in order for them to proceed with the termination under subsection 2.
That's true, but it did happen because it did happen. I believe that she should have been the right counsel at that time throughout that process.
What is your strongest argument on best interests?
Best interests?
Yes, ma'am.
I believe it can have a constitutional right to raise their children, and that unless extreme circumstances exist, that right shouldn't be handled.
Ms. Wells, do you recall prior to that adjudication hearing, had your client ever appeared in a hearing?
I'm only aware of it in two hearings.
Was the termination hearing one of them?
Termination hearing was one part of that.
Thank you.
Do you have any more questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
May it please the court, my name is Madeline Toyman, and I'm a deputy Douglas County attorney appearing on behalf of the state of Nebraska and the elderly in this matter. The state's reflection is minor syndrome, with this court from the findings in separate juvenile court of Douglas County, that the minor children of the appellate can live in the meaning of Nebraska Revised Statute 43-292, subsections 1, 2, 6, 7, and 9, and that it was in the best interest of the minor children to defend the rights of their mother in the appellate to be terminated.
Counsel, can you address the due process issue and the fact that counsel was relieved at the beginning of the adjudication hearing?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. It's my understanding that the petition was filed in January of 2016, and at the time the appellant's whereabouts were unknown. In March of 2016, the state published on her, and in April of 2016, there was a first appearance detective custody and adjudication hearing at which the appellant did not appear. At that time, the court relieved Ms. Wells of her appointment as counsel, and this is due to the fact that she had no contact with her client until that point. It's my understanding that Nebraska Supreme Court Rule 3-501.16 subsection 6 allows an attorney to withdraw from representation if the representation has been rendered unreasonably difficult by the client. In this case, the appellant's failure to avail himself of her attorney's services to make her contact information available to her attorney or to have her whereabouts known to her attorney has rendered the representation of her unreasonably difficult. And so the court was correct in allowing Ms. Melton to withdraw as counsel for the appellant.
Do process rights of the client need to be considered in order for that to happen? I guess in reading the bill and the fact that counsel was present at the adjudication and the court relieved her from a duty at the beginning and she left that, it just struck me as kind of strange. If she's there to protect her client's interests, why not keep her there during the adjudication hearing?
My understanding is that she had had no contact with her client whatsoever, so she wasn't even able to speak to her client's interest at that point. She had never met her client or spoken with her. I don't think it would be ethical for her to represent the interest if she was completely unaware. So whether the mother wanted to resist the contract custody at that time, she couldn't speak to that. Whether the mother was going to repeat the allegations in the affidavit, she couldn't speak to that. So she had no, she had no basis for any kind of representation at that point, other than her own professional judgment. So the state believes that the court was correct in relieving her. The court did not err in dismissing Ms. Wells from her appointment at that time. There was a hearing in July of 2017. At that point, the appellant's whereabouts did become known and she was incarcerated and was transported to that hearing. And at that time, the court reappointed Ms. Wells as her attorney, and she had retained counsel for the rest of the case, including the motion to terminate parental rights adjudication. The state also believes that it wasn't in the best interest of the minor children for the parental rights of their mother to be terminated. Not only did the state prove by clear and convincing evidence from sections 1, 2, 6, 7, and 9 of 43-292, but the state also called Sarah Crone, who was a family permanency specialist in the Nebraska Families Collaborative. She testified at the adjudication for the motion to terminate parental rights that based on her training, experience, education, and the facts of the case, that it wasn't in the best interest of the minor children for their mothers and their rights to be terminated. At that time, children had been out of care, or treated out of home placement for over 2 years. They have remained in out of home placement for that entire time. And that the mother had made no progress towards reunification despite being offered numerous services to alleviate the conditions that brought her children into care and under the court's jurisdiction. Furthermore, there's a lack of relationship between the mother and the children, evidenced by the fact that in the pendency of this case, she has seen her children only 6 times. So due to those reasons, the state believes that the court was correct in finding that it was in the best interest of these children that their mother's rights to be terminated. These children deserve clemency, and the appellant is not able to provide that.
Counsel, are you familiar with Nebraska Revised Statute 43-279-01, subsection 2? The juvenile court, I believe, in discharging the attorney at the beginning of the adjudication, just made reference to I'm allowed by statute to relieve counsel without stating a specific statute. But on my research, I believe it's that subsection. But there's very little case law on how it's interpreted. So I'm looking for some guidance on that.
Yeah. Are there any other questions from the court?
Thank you, Counsel. If you want an opportunity for rebuttal, there is some time remaining, or you want to submit? Okay.
Thank you. Matter submitted.
Thanks. Counsel's excused. Thank you.